This episode of Pop Cult Parent is brought to you by Young King Hair Care. Young King Hair Care is a multicultural grooming company for young men. Leveraging plant-based ingredients, Young King creates clean products to promote texture, health, and growth. Inspired by their son Cade, husband and wife team Core and Stefan launched this company in December 2019 with the mission to redefine male grooming for the next generation of black and brown men, giving them the confidence they need to be their best selves 24/7, 365. My two sons have been using Young King Hair Care products since they launched, and I highly recommend everything, especially their leave-in conditioner. Featured on Good Morning America, Shark Tank, Essence, CNBC, and more, Young King can currently be found in the shelves of over 15,000 Target, Walmart, and CVS stores, as well as Amazon. And just for members of Pop Cult, use the discount code POPCULTPARENT to receive 15% off your order at youngkinghaircare.com. That's POPCULTPARENT, one word, to get 15% off your order.
What up, what up, what up, internet? This is Niels R.Y. Welcome you all back to Pop Cult Parent. In this episode, we're going to be reflecting on episode 3 of X-Men 97. Mark M.F. Jones is not here because the brother lost his voice. He is raising 3 children. And as you can imagine, it doesn't make for a good podcast if the brother cannot talk. So he is not here, but we are excited for the group that we do have here. And I'm excited to introduce the other co-host. Shannon, how you doing, brother?
I'm good. I'm good. This is Shannon, a.k.a. Let me abandon you as I tell you how I'll never abandon you.
Dang. Hey, Gavin, welcome back, brother.
What's good? Good to see y'all.
All right. So we will be talking about episode 3 of X-Men 97. But as folks noticed, when Mark and I talked about episodes 1 and 2, Shannon was not on and Gavin was also not on. And so we want to give you all the floor to talk about any of the things that one Mark and I may have mentioned or things that you just wanted to bring up, have your time to shine to talk about the previous 2 episodes. So Shannon, I'm going to turn it over to you, brother.
All right. So yeah, I don't have a lot to say. Y'all definitely hit on a lot of the points. I just want to say X-Men 97 has been amazing. Yes. Like I said, those first 2 episodes, everybody's saying it. Cyclops is finally getting his due. Everyone was
Cyclops
talking
about redemption.
Yes, Cyclops redemption. Cyclops redemption.
The name of this season. It's not 97. Cyclops redemption. Anyways, please continue.
It is, and no, I'm so happy that he's doing. I think everybody was hyped about in the first 4 minutes when he did his like shoot the ground dash slide type deal. Okay, that got me. But I was more impressed, and I know it was hit on too, when he did the whole falling from the sky thing. And he was like, I can't fly, but I know I got a safe landing. And like the way that dude, when he smirked, and he was like, all right, good job, everybody. I knew, I was like, this dude is psychotic, and I love it. So
that glass was serious, man.
Yeah, so serious. Cushion his landing. I've never seen that before.
Never seen that before. Hey, and I love it, and I want to see more of it. So, but with that said, like I said, you all hit on a lot of great points. The first 2 episodes, I was going to be sold on the show anyway. First 2 episodes, they were just amazing. The other thing, again, just sort of stands out is y'all hit on it. But that moment when Storm came through, I think I'm similar to what Mark was saying. I was always like, yeah, Storm is pretty cool, you know, but not like, you know, one of my favorite or something like that. They finally gave Storm.
I'm just going to interrupt you now. You will join Mark in being roasted by the internet. I just want you to know you will join him in the flames that he is currently experiencing. Absolutely. I'm not saying he thought Storm was super cool. So just welcome to that experience that he is about to go through. So go ahead. Absolutely.
But no, I love that they really did a great job with her as well. Coming through, you knew it was a wrap when the Sentinels were like Omega level threat detected. I was like, they said it, like there's no guessing. She is an Omega level. Say it, sing it loud and proud. Love it. And then, of course, you know, sadly, she lost all her powers the next episode. But yeah. But no, great, great first two episodes. And obviously we'll get into the third in this. Yep.
Awesome. Gab?
So, yeah, I 100% agree. I was also watching the opening. As soon as that music hit, doom, 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 I felt like it was counting my goosebumps. Doom, 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 doom. Like, I was like, yeah, thank you. And, like, just showing the montage of all the characters they were going to make the focus of this season, I was like, let's go. So, one, I love that. I also love the fact that they continued slowly, but they upgraded the animation. They upgraded the storytelling. It's darker and it matured, in my opinion, I don't even know how else to compare it, a Harry Potter-esque fashion. You know how Harry Potter, like, grew as the characters grew? I feel like we're a part of the characters, even though it's been since 97. I feel like they were like the audience that knows the story grew up and they're going to want to see something a little bit more grungier. You know what I mean? Like you're getting more like a little bit more blood, a little bit darker, a little bit more like sadistic plot level stuff. I feel like everything about it grew up with us and it made it so exciting to just see it just continue. And like, honestly, my favorite character out of the whole series is always going to be Wolverine. And when he said Bub, I was like, there it is. There it is. That's what I've been waiting for 20 plus years. Just for him to say, what's good, Bub? Or just like, how you doing, Bub? Or yeah, whatever, Bub. Like, just that was amazing.
You know, Gavin, you brought up something. And I've actually been trying to like figure this out too, which is like, it does seem like the tone is different. But like, I don't know if I'll say it's more mature because we got a really mature show in like the early 90s. Like that X-Men animated show, that was mature as heck. So like, yeah. I feel you. There's something different. Like, well, I don't know if maybe the pacing is different.
It's not
maybe
just
we're older. Pacing. I don't know. It's something
there's
though.
There's a little more graphic to it. Like it's not explicit as much as it is graphic. And if you think about it, I haven't seen as much like the zeitgeist of the common theme kind of conversation yet. Like the one thing I've been looking forward to in X-Men is from that cartoon was the social context of this is how you treat people. This is who we are. They did that a little bit with, you know, Storm talking to Jean about her baby, but they haven't given you that, hey, this is our philosophy on life, or this is our take on what's happening now. We've gotten more like this is X-Men and this is what the root of it was. We haven't gotten
like a through storyline. Like we don't know what the plot of this season is yet.
Yeah. Like we're getting hints at Mr. Sinister, but we don't know if it's him or if he's just, you know, the opening bit. You know what I mean? Like I feel like we're getting more tidbits, but not the like this is what we really like about X-Men. But even though it's so like, yo, we're giving comic book slide kind of animation bar by bar kind of thing. You know what I mean?
And we are getting action. Those fight scenes, all of them.
Ooh, like all of them. Saying, Storm? Oh my gosh. Like they gave her own intro slowly. Yeah. Like the lightning coming in before she came in was like, you know what it is. I'm not going to say nothing. Did you see the voice actress doing it in the studio?
I did. And she got an immediate follow from me.
As she was doing it, I was like, come on, sister. Yeah. Raise your hand and scream.
Oh, it explained everything. It explained everything. Like, how you gonna tell her to not do the theatrics anymore? No, it's like, yes, sister, you better praise the Lord. as you are beckoning fire and brimstone down to your enemies. Yes. Yes. I want that. Immediate follow. I saw that. I was like, yes, I am a fan.
It was everything. Yo. So yeah, I agree with y'all. It's like the first two episodes were just like, oh man, like I've missed this. And I'm glad they dropped two. The first one wouldn't have done justice. I needed to, for real.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So those were the first two episodes. Let's jump into the third episode. There's plenty of things that we want to talk about. As like someone, and I got to remind members of the pop cult, yes, I am a comic book nerd and a comic book expert, but I would not call myself an X-Men expert. Like I haven't read like the full runs of many X-Men series, but I know enough to be dangerous. And so I say that to say there's a couple things that I can confirm to the pop cult. One is Madeline Pryor is a real character. I kind of hinted to it in the previous episode that I think they're going the direction of Madeline Pryor. We got a couple of hints to it. There's some like actual hints, and then I'm gonna give a funny hint. The actual hints that we got was that Jean was pregnant with the son. For those who know, like, Jean and Scott's first kid is actually a girl. Her name is Rachel Summers. So when we heard like that they had a son, it was kind of like, it'll raise your eyebrow. But I was assuming, whatever, they're just changing the story around. But then the other hint was that like Jean was constantly trying to get Scott away from the X-Men. And that aligned with what happened in the comics with Madeline Pryor. Madeline was constantly being like, Scott, you're too old to like be, or like, we got a family, like you need to not lead the X-Men. And that's actually when him and Storm fought for leadership of the X-Men and he lost. So we kind of got hints to it, but it wasn't until Jean came in that I was like, oh, that's gotta be Madeline Pryor. Now those were the real hints, but here's my funny hint. Y'all, for the first two episodes with Jean Grey, she used her powers flawlessly. Yeah. She did not faint. Yeah. She did not hesitate. She was still with her power.
Yeah.
At no point did it look like she was going to pass out for those first two episodes. Yeah. And then cue in episode three, where we see the real Jean. And in the last part of the show, Jean is, with all her splendor, shutting down Madeline Pryor. And what happens 5 seconds after she uses her powers? Jean, Scott! And I was like, that's the real Jean Grey. That's the real Jean Grey.
But this is the big stark difference. Like, as you said, that happened. But Madeline Pryor gave birth and still didn't pass out, right?
Facts.
Jean Grey use her powers for 5 seconds and pass out. I was like, Madeline Pryor gave birth to a child and still didn't do the pass out thing. So, yeah.
She didn't waver not one time. She used her powers to the max. She had the baby in the back. She was talking smack to the whole team while she had the baby in the back. Like, I'm leaving, but just so y'all know, no, I am not Jean Grey. I am the Goblin Queen. And guess what? Taking Nathan with me. She didn't pass out. As soon as Jean woke up and saw Wolverine, oh, Scott.
Like clockwork.
I was like, oh, that's the real Jean right there. Yeah, the Beast had it from jump.
Yeah. We shouldn't have questioned it. Like, come on now.
I felt hurt because I was like, wait, he had a baby with a whole clone? Scott, you don't know your whole wife? Come on, Scott. Uh-huh. But then I was like, I mean, it is Mr. Sinister, you know.
And he's so meticulous, attention to detail. It's like,
Very much so.
I just wanted to say, but also you mentioned Beast as well, just like with Beast announcing, you know, like, hey, you know, Beast has the worst bedside manner of any scientist, doctor, medical professional. You had something groundbreaking like that. And instead of being like, hey, Jean, Madeline, maybe let me pull y'all to the side, tell you something first. Maybe team, let me have you in the room just by, you know, let me break it slowly to people. Then we'll just in front of everybody. Look like you're not Jean. Like, you know, like apparently you're not.
Go get your son. My God.
That's basically being like, oh, I got your results here. Oh, looks like you tested positive for all the diseases. Get it in front of all your friends and family. Like,
Beast don't care. Yeah. Beast don't care. He like, if I know, everybody gonna know. Ain't no secrets with the X-Men. Terrible. All right, y'all. So a couple things to like name on this. So there is a Madeline Pryor. What's a little bit different in the comic books, at least for what I remember, is that when Scott and Madeline get together, her name is Madeline Pryor. She is not Jean. So he's not confused that it's like a clone or whatever. She does look just like Jean, though. So like everybody's kind of like, damn, Scott, that's kind of creepy. You literally just went to find a lady that looks just like your ex-girl. But it is what it is. So he is with somebody, but her name is Madeline Pryor and they have a child. So that's one of the differences between like the show and the comic books. But her being Goblin Queen is absolutely in the comic books. Like Madeline Pryor is a beast. She's like a telepathic monster. I'm talking like similar levels as Jean. Now Jean, at least from what I remember, is still better. Like it ain't there's that's like original Jean got that dog and can beat Madeline, but Madeline is a problem. So at least from what I understand, that is still that's like the elements that came from the comic books that's in the show. And then the other thing is Cable. Like Mr. Sinister, he legit saw Scott and Jean's DNA and was like, these two DNAs together would make the perfect mutant. And so he did all of that to get Nathan Summers, who will later be known as Cable. And yes, the Technopath virus is a thing. It was in the comic books. It's now in the show. We did get Cable. So we did kind of see like his face and like the techno organs that he had. So this shouldn't really be new to us, but I guess this is the origin story. I don't think we got the origin story in the original show. So like this kind of confirms to folks that like Sinister's plan actually worked. He did get the DNA. He did have the kid. And now you know why Cable wasn't raised by Scott and Jean, because he had to go into the past to, I believe, get with Forge to like get fixed up and be able to, you know, not be contaminated with the techno organs. So those are just some of the things from the comic books that were straight up in the show.
I had a thought about that whole Cable, or because I agree, it was like, oh, as soon as they said Nathan, boom, we're getting Cable. Awesome. Yeah. And we had seen Cable back in the 90s when you know, we saw Bishop and everything. But my thing is, Cyclops had his whole redemption story. But as soon as he was like, I'm not abandoning my son, he walked out the room.
Yes.
He was like, I cannot do this. You know what it's like to be abandoned. I can't be a part of this. And he never saw his son again before he went to the future, ever again. It was just Jean and everybody else. I'm like, so Scott, you're not going to abandon your son, but you're not going to say bye?
Or, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I was like that part was a little tough for me. He's like, I can't do this. And he was like, he ain't even kiss Cable. He ain't say nothing. I'm like, no wonder Cable wakes up with a chip on his shoulder when he comes back. Oh, you're Scott Summers. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
they didn't really get along historically.
They didn't see each other.
But he literally said, I will never abandon my son. I can't do this. And the first thing he did was abandon his son in the same building. That's my problem. I was kind of like, I mean, did they set us up for that joke or not? I feel like beyond that, like Scott showed up the entire time in terms of leadership and everything. I feel like he was getting more emotional than he ever did. And I feel like the Scott we got was the Scott that Wolverine always complained about, but we never saw. You know what I mean? Like, he always called him the Boy Scout. He always called him the suck up. He always called him the sensitive one. But we got so much more Scott emotional than we got any other point in those, like, several seasons back in the 90s. You know what I mean? Like, you always saw Scott maybe flawed, but not, like, emotional and questioning himself. We never
so
got
let
Scott.
Me, let me ask you two questions then. Two questions from the episode. One is about Scott. The other is about Jean. My question about Scott for both of you is, like, how do you, this man react when he found out that Jean was cloned and he found out that the person that he was married to had a kid with and like has been with for who knows how long might not be the real Jean. He like hesitated and just like would not engage her or connect with her or even like say like, I don't care. Like, he didn't do any like unapologetic, unconditional love stuff. He was just like, hold up. Was that the right way to react? I'm curious on like what you all think at that moment of how, of how Scott reacted to that. Like, was that the right play? Should he have done something differently? I'm curious what y'all think.
Yeah. I was like, I don't know what to do differently, but I definitely am like, yes, something should have been done differently, because like, one, he doesn't know, nobody knows how long has Madeline Pryor been there. Like, I mean, it could be, okay, you know, we just had a baby. So, you know, that's been the course of, you know, like 8 months or whatnot. It's like, let's just say you've been mad, like, you've been here for 1 year. Like, it could have been 1 year. So, therefore, all that other stuff was Gene. But then again, it could have been, guess what? The last 7 years I've been with you. And you know, maybe the only real interaction me and Gene might have had would have been the first maybe 2 years of I remember us dating, you know. So it's just like you don't know how long have they been together. So all of that stuff you're saying, you're like, I don't even know who you are. It's like, maybe you do, you know. like mm-hmm. So yeah, but I definitely feel like once that happened, yes, confusion, this and that, but you don't automatically be like, yeah, I don't even know you, I don't trust you, and just turn my back on you, and it's Gene, you're the one. You know, you thought you were with Gene, but you might have been with Madeline for like the last 10 years, you know. So
yeah, you know what, and aside from the end of the second episode, Scott barely touched Nathan the whole rest of that episode. He barely touched Gene. He barely went at, like, in my opinion, it was like he completely detached as soon as he was like, two genes, huh? And he had no proof whatsoever. I was like, yo, like, you're not even going to try to comfort your wife? Or, you know what I mean? And Shannon, you hit the nail on the head, man. It's like you have, and they even said in the episode, we have no idea how long that was a clone. We have no idea if that was the clone that he married, or if he got married before that. We have no idea how long Mr. Sinister had Jean, the actual Jean Grey. So her piecing all her feelings together was through what, which, by the way, I hope we segue to Wolverine getting his moment to be like, Jean, let me tell you how I really feel, even though you already know. Look deeper, Jean. Like, yeah. I was like, oh, he's trying to play some stuff, even though he knows he's fully married, like one
and,
way or the other.
And Gavin, and we will talk about her right now. And what happened right then and there? Gene, look, I'm gonna narrate the whole thing. Gene looked into Wolverine and was like, dang, I mean that much to you? And Wolverine is like, more. And then she continues looking. Number one, she continues looking. And then she immediately goes, Scott. Like, yeah. Scott, she did not establish any boundary. She is playing with this man's heart consistently. Look, this show has been 30 years old. She, for three decades, has been playing with this man's emotions. All right.
She did it episode one. Yeah. Episode one on the basketball court. She played with this emotion. Wolverine, please.
No. I think the clone established boundaries. All right. I think Madeline Pryor established boundaries. She knows she got Wolverine by weakness, but she's like, yo, we're leaving. You know what I'm saying? She's like, Scott and I have a family and we are leaving the X-Men. And that's why Wolverine was pouting all first two episodes, because he knows that Jean was about to go. This Jean is like, I mean that much to you. Where's my man? Right in front of him. That's a difference,
and,
you know. So,
and you know what? Like, thankful that Wolverine has the whole healing factor, because that heart has been broken, stomped, destroyed. But luckily, it heals, because any normal man without that factor, I mean, you go into a dark abyss. So
honestly, I would say he's already there. And honestly, after episode two, I was like, oh, Wolverine's a sadist. He's yeah, doing this to
he's
himself.
He's bludgeoning it for pain.
He's just like, you know what? I know I'm going to get it, but it's Gene. Like, I feel like he knows it's happening and he's just absolutely setting himself up for it. And
there are two Genes in this house.
Two Genes, and both of them.
There are two. And he ain't getting neither of them. There are two Genes. This should be the solution to everybody's problem. And he ain't getting with neither of them. And
two Genes and no Logan.
So the other question I was going to ask you all is, how long do you think Madeline Pryor was in the house? Like, how, or with Scott? Like, when did she replace Gene?
You know, So I was thinking about this, and to me, because of what we've seen, what makes the most sense to me is, I can't remember what season it was, but remember back in, you know, the not X-Men 97, but before that, there was a portion where, remember, Sinister had both of them. Yep. You see?
Mm-hmm. Come on, but, man, my melt. Yeah.
Yes, yes, absolutely. But yeah, there was that whole, you know, thing where like they had to fight Sinister and his people and this and that. But Sinister had both of them. And then, you know, whatever, X-Men are like, oh, we freed them, this and that. I'm thinking the switch might have happened then. And so since whatever season that was.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah.
That was a long time ago. Was that after? That was before Phoenix Saga, wasn't it?
That was before. That was before Phoenix. Yeah, I completely agree, Shannon. I was like, yo, I bet you when he had her the first time, that was when he cloned her and he switched her, like right then and there. Yo, I'm telling you, I think Scott has never really known Jean until, except for when they dated, like maybe, what was that, like season two? Like after they found Jubilee was really building her up. Like, I think you're absolutely right, Shannon. I think that was when he took her, and Scott doesn't really know how long Jean was actually there, but I think it was just a whole like psychic link type of thing. And that's why she had so many memories that she just didn't know what to do with when she saw Logan. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
That would even explain Professor X not really being able to pick up on it. You know what I mean? Like, Professor X always knows when one of his peoples is a little off and then goes further. If it was that far back, he had no basis of reference for who Jean, you know what I mean? Like, it had to be that early. You know what I mean?
I think that's why I think. So, I mean, y'all's logic makes complete sense and it's probably the right answer. My thought is it's after Phoenix. So when like she dies and comes back. Because, like, I think part of the reason folks were not like, oh, this is a clone, it's clearly a clone, is because they were so happy that Jean was back. And this is after, like, a crazy Phoenix, like, a space entity took over her body. So I'm sure, like, Charles is like, she's going to be a little different. Like, she just got possessed by, like, this space god entity. Like, she ain't going to be the same after that. You know what I'm saying? So I think he kind of just chopped it up to that, because I agree with you, Gavin. There has to be a difference. Like, and if anybody's going to find out, Charles Xavier is going to find out.
Yeah.
And the fact that like he didn't say or notice anything different, that's what makes me think it was after the Phoenix Saga. Because like Beast himself said, every scientist leaves a mark. And so he had to been like, or maybe he wasn't looking. He must not have been looking at Jean's stuff. Or he needed to see both of them at the same time. But I think it was after the Phoenix Saga. That's the only logic that like makes sense to me. Yeah. So, fellas, any other big things from the episodes? And then we can talk about what we think is going to happen next.
The one thing I will say is that we have never seen this much blood ever.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah. It was a horror movie.
It was a horror movie. When Magneto was laid out and cut up, I was like, yo, have we ever seen Eric laid out like that? Like,
no.
And he was struggling. Never.
Eric,
never seen him laid out like that.
Madeline Pryor whooped Eric. I was shocked. I was like, dang, point, Magneto's number one. Number one on the call sheet. And she knocked him down easily. I was like, oh, that's a problem.
Electromagnetic, huh? Whatever.
Like, oh, you think you're cool because you can control magnetism? I control everything.
Everything. Yeah. And laid him out. But my thing is Magneto, like, was he that confident or too cocky? Because he knows what type of person Jean is. Even if that's a clone, I get that we're seeing his luscious gray locks. Where's his helmet at, yo? Like, come on, like, can we get, like, Magneto to just be conscious of there are other telepaths in the world, and Jean now has a clone, and he just went in completely unprepared and got obliterated off break? You know what I mean? Like,
okay, so I have logic for that. I think the helmet, it's not because he's afraid of any other telepath. No. Peace, bro. I don't think it's for like any other telepath. I think it's specifically for Charles. Like, I think it's for Professor X. Like, I think he's not nervous about going shooting the ones with a telepath. I think it's just Charles. Like, Charles and him got a connection that he's like, if I let that guy in my head again, it's gonna be a problem. That is the only logical reason that I have for you.
Because I was like, because there was a line in there. They said, I guess it had to be episode two, where, you know, he said something about, or him or Rogue, they were saying something about, yeah, him wearing the helmet, so much because of Charles Xavier. He was just like, if I feel that and basically remember how much he cares about me and how much we care about each other. Yeah, it would be that. Like, it wasn't even like Charles going in being like, oh, he's going to make me do stuff or stop me. He's just like, if I have that connection again, remember how much he cares about me. That's going to cause me to, you know, not complete my mission or whatever. Do right. my duty.
That's commitment. That. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I will say it's confidence. Like, he's like, yo, I'm Magneto. You're not the real Jean Grey. And I kind of need these other two with me, but I could take you by myself if I want to be honest. That clearly was not the case, but I'm pretty sure that was the mentality he had walking into that to the house. He ain't afraid of Sinister. Come on now.
Yeah.
Magneto ain't afraid of Sinister. And so if Sinister's your boss, he's like, I could take both of y'all by myself. And that was not the case. And yo, one other thing, and I'll let y'all go on, but like, was Sinister by himself in that house? Was it just him and Madeline? Like
just him. Yeah. Just him and the clone.
That's like never the case. Like, Sinister always got like a little crew of folks around him. So that's real suspicious. I wonder if Sinister's a clone. Sinister's been known to have clones. So.
Oh, yeah. Like, he usually has like the Blob and what's it? Oh, my goodness.
He had Morph at one point.
He did have Morph. He had Morph under mind control, too. And he almost got him again through Madeline Pryor. But. You know, the one thing I want to talk to y'all about, because I've been waiting to hear y'all like opinion on this. There is some like unresponsive love triangles happening in two specific ways that I know y'all both picked up on. One, I already talked about my boy Wolverine. Logan is always just he's a sadist in my opinion. Mm-hmm. But the way that Madeline Pryor played on freaking Gambit's mind. And what she did and showed him with Jean and Magneto was not only sick, it was like awful. Like, and honestly, nobody addressed it. We're just letting like him just get hinted at, see it, and just kind of be like victim of a broken heart. And yo, y'all were right. Like, there's no competing with Magneto. Like, y'all were absolutely right when y'all said that. Like, I mean, he's the boss. Like, what you gonna do? Like, he got your girl. Like, what? What are you gonna do?
Like, and he got his arms out now. He was like, I ain't even got the wrist. Yeah. I'm doing the arms, the hair.
So he was like, he's out of school.
Yeah, he's real cocky with it now.
Like, he got the guns out in school, not worried about suspension because headmaster ain't there. Like, I mean, you can't compete with that. I just would love to know what y'all think, because I feel like Gambit has been waiting for Mon Ami for the longest time. And for him to be rejected so smoothly like that and just quickly, and I feel like Rogue is kind of like, oh yeah, oh let me go after Gambit, like, oh wait, let me check on Gambit. If he's an afterthought, he's not like completely dismissed. So I'm feeling some type of way about Rogue right now. Like, I'm like, she, you know what I mean, like, she's not completely cut off, she's just kind of like,
yeah, here's my reaction. I think the show is not trying to hammer it in on what that relationship is. I think we could go a couple directions that, like, maybe it's a father-daughter relationship. It's just like a caring relationship. And we're just seeing it from the lens of Gambit being scared that he's about to lose Rogue. And like, they're spending a lot of time together because they have a connection and because Magneto can give her the one thing that no one else can, which is like a physical touch. But it don't gotta be anything more than like holding hands or like a hug or anything like that. But Gambit, in Gambit's mind, he's like, this man, regardless of like what their relationship is, this man can do something that I cannot do to her that gives her so much more joy and satisfaction. And I can never do that. So I think there's like, I think there's something there, but we don't necessarily know what it is. Now, me, your boy, I'm telling you, they together. All right. Yeah. I'm gonna be honest. Magneto and Rogue are together. Magneto, you don't come out looking like as lavish as he does to not try to get a victory out of this whole situation. And you got Rogue there, and you can give her what she wants. He ain't afraid of Gambit. What Gambit to a king? Come on now. So he ain't really tripping about that.
It's just an L. It's just an L from Gambit. He just don't know he got the L yet.
Magneto locks. We've never seen Magneto locks. So I feel like he's like, lavish. Yeah, they're flowing. You know what I mean? Like,
but yo, the other thing, Morph, again, Morph, one of my favorite characters. But Morph, they sat there and remember when they were looking at the Danger Room thing? Morph is like, oh, wow, looks like Rogue is really building her stamina with the new boss. so, you
he
know.
Said, and he was just, he wasn't even looking at the screen anymore. He was looking at them and going,
yeah. Oh, wow. Like 24 hours. This is crazy.
Yo, troll. The ultimate troll.
Is there Rogue and Gambit on here? No, but wow. Rogue, yeah. You know, like 3 days straight. This is crazy.
Morph a little throwed, man. It's yeah. He just
wait, before we go, the end of the episode with Storm. Who was dude who was offering her powers back? Because that part I actually am not really familiar with off break.
Yep.
Do you know Forge, who that was? Right?
Yeah, so that is Forge. Forge is well known in the world of X-Men. Forge's mutant power is that he essentially can create anything. He's like the mutant Tony Stark, except better. Like, he can like have a connection with mechanics and like create anything to like serve mutantdom. Storm, I believe Storm and Forge actually have a relationship in the comic books. And Forge's creation is actually what took Storm's mutant powers away. And I believe he's also the reason that Storm got her powers back, if memory serves me correctly. So Forge is an important person in this story. I also believe Forge created Blackwing or Blackbird, whatever the ship is called. I think he actually built it for Xavier. It's like his like gift to Xavier. So like he's a thing. He's a person. It's like he's a big deal. And I'm expecting that he'll play a significant part in the rest of the season.
Gotcha. I was hurt when Storm didn't have her powers anymore. Like that was like, I was like, so this is how we start and we just go take the Black woman's powers away? Cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool, X-Men.
It was a little tough. It was a little tough.
Especially when she proves like I am a walking goddess. Like I'm not like, you know, no shade. I'm not like Jubilee. Or just somebody with powers. Like, I am an Omega level mutant, basically a walking god, and then bow, everything's gone. I'm like,
bro, she took out several Sentinels. It wasn't just like one Sentinel. You remember the first time we saw Sentinels, and she like they were at the mall, and then her and Rogue switched up, and it was like a battle just for like two Sentinels. She took out like 10 by herself in the other episode. So I'm curious, any other thoughts on what we're gonna see in future episodes, y'all?
Cable.
Yes, absolutely. I want to make a comment on that just because I like to try to find the humor and stuff. So we've all been on work trips, right? Bishop had the worst work trip. he went and came back with a kid. Like, it's like we've been on work trips, conferences. I've come back with maybe notebooks, pens, lanyards. Never again.
Business cards. little candies for the family, like, you know, small stuff, pictures. Not a whole baby. No.
But a whole baby.
That was funny.
This whole virus-affected white baby. Hold on. We got to talk about this. A whole virus-affected white baby. All right. How are you going to explain that to people?
When he was going through the portal, I looked at him. He looked so upset. Like, the whole show, he's like, wow, look at that beast. You're almost there on my home watch. And then when he got that baby, he looked so mad going back through that portal.
He's like, what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? I didn't sign up. Yo, and he had just fixed his watch 10 minutes before all this stuff happened. He would be baby-free back in the future.
Hey, oh, man. Yo, that is hilarious, man.
Oh, he's like, I got to take care of Gene first, and then I'm going to do this. I was like, yo, do you know how crazy this house is? I watch now. I need to go. I don't want nothing to do with y'all. Send me back home. Damn. Oh,
that is,
man,
so funny.
Oh, yeah, I have no idea what's going to happen. I think Sinister is probably going to play a role. We're probably not done with Sinister. But yeah, man, excited to react with y'all on episode 3. There will be several more episodes. And if y'all still like what you're hearing, we'll keep coming back and reacting to the rest of the season. But gentlemen, any other things before we wrap up?
Nope. Not excited for the rest of the season, yo. This is a great show, for real.
Yeah, agreed.
Oh, Marvel tagline, Marvel animation? I'm loving it. I'm loving it.
Yes, which means there will be more, right? Like, outside of this. Now, I don't know how true this is. I just saw this, like, posted somewhere. But they said what the two highest rated Marvel shows, I guess, in the last year-ish or whatever. They said Ms. Marvel and this.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
I was really surprised, like Ms. Marvel, but still.
I'm very surprised about Ms. Marvel.
Yeah, but it said Ms. Marvel and this were the two highest rated, like, Marvel shows. I guess, I don't think they said overall, like, maybe it was like in the last year-ish. Or
when you say rated, do you mean like quality or do you mean quantity? Like, when they were saying rated, what do you know? What do you mean?
I think it was based off of maybe Rotten Tomatoes type.
Okay. Gotcha. Okay, I guess, yeah, that makes sense. All right. Well, cool. Thank you all for listening. We have a new episode every month. You can find us on all social media at PopCultParent, PopCultParent. Visit us at www.popcultparent.com. Become a member of the PopCult at our Patreon, patreon.com/PopCult, where you can see all of our full video episodes. Email us at PopCultParent@gmail.com. Don't forget to rate us, review, and subscribe. And as always, join the cult. Peace.
We out.
Pop Parent.